Hello everyone, welcome to The Firm, episode 29. You may be wondering what episode 28 is, and that is the Secret Lost episode. We never should have gone with that cheaper podcaster release program. No, to be all fair, yeah, we've had that one in the pipeline. But this is real 2019 content coming at your ears right now.
Yeah, the first content in 2019, I think.
Actually, that would be a lie. We did record one episode a few days ago, predicting the new captains.
Yeah, and we decided not to release it because we wanted to, as soon as we saw the cards, we went, we're wrong. We're wrong.
the wrong wasn't the problem, really. It's like going like, oh, here are predictions. But people go looking at the card going, the card, we don't need predictions for now. Like, they'd have been good a week ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we thought we had a bit more time than we actually had.
Thanks to hashtag new Steamforged. None of this see you in 6 months stuff. This is, do you want some models? We can have them now.
Yeah, we both thought we were
and some people are still managing to complain about it online.
Well, it's a bit too quick for my liking.
I prefer to see cards and let it just sort of just settle in my stomach before, you know, the model arrives.
To be fair, that being said, out of all the additions to the game so far, rookies, even minor guild, actual new captain, where I hoped they'd eventually go.
Yeah, I mean, we've only been playing since start season 3, and I can't imagine really the excitement that there was when it went from there being one captain in every guild to suddenly, holy shit, there's this, like when Corsair turned up, do you know what I mean? Or like when Fillet turned up, that sort of excitement must have been huge. And to sort of be able to catch it now, I can sort of imagine what it must have been like, because it is just, a captain completely changes the game.
Oh yeah, like the way I view it in terms of, like, you know, my thing in having the feeling of your own guild and you should own that guild and it should be your guild and you should feel proud about the models you put together. I know most people try, quote unquote, min-max it, but I've said before, I like Guild Ball because it's relatively resistant to min-max it. There are obviously some teams who are better than others. Like, if you bring only Reaper farming, you're fucked. But that's an exception to the rule. For the most part, you can kind of pick the team you want and you can perform alright.
Yeah.
But for me, in terms of building your own guild and identity, I'd rather have the 10 models for, you know, whatever, how many models. If they said, you know what, no more new models for the guild, the minor containers we are, from now on, we're only going to do new captains. I felt like even if they went up to 4, even 5 captains, that'd create more unique guilds overall than even having new models. Even with a new model, people quickly find out what powerful models and they start sorting them out. With new captains, because all the captains change the way you play the guild so much. If I can do Ringfarer and compared to Gaffer and compared to Steeljaw, bang, all of a sudden different models coming in. Yeah. It's actually a more unique thing. All of a sudden, two Steeljaw teams don't look alike, two Ferran teams don't look alike, two Gaffer teams don't look alike, and then they cross over with each other.
Yeah.
Much more identity overall.
Yeah. I concur.
I feel like what we're gonna do.
If you say something I disagree with, then I'll be able to dive in. So
you need to. The thing is, you're agreeing that action is so chilled that I need the disagreeing to be like beyond rage. Whatever. You're like, what do you think? Yeah, I agree.
The only thing I would say is that when you were saying there, you'd say if they sort of went nothing more, just captains, and then they brought out like 4 or 5 new captains, I think that'd be too many. I know you would be a bit hyperbolic.
I mean, hyper. It's just for the sake of thought.
Yeah.
I'm not saying bring out 5 captains.
I think three. I don't really see where the design space could go now without sort of stepping into each other's. Do you know what I mean? Like, sort of. But then again, I didn't think I knew where Yukai would come in.
Yeah.
You know, I thought there wouldn't be any room for Yukai, and they managed it. So
yeah. In second, you think it makes sense.
Yeah.
And you go, oh yeah, that's what I wanted the entire time.
Yeah. The only thing is, I didn't get my one request. As soon as I saw new captains, the first Morn video came out, and it went new captains, I just went, if I get an out of activation kick, I was like, that's all I want. It can cost 6 influence, I don't care. All I want is an out of activation kick.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know what, saying that, I'm pretty pleased with what I've got.
Well, I feel like we'll get to that. Okay, I think you've gotten more than you've...
Because we just played a game, Fish and Hunters, obviously. Hot off the back of that. Oh, you won't know, actually, because you don't do the internet.
Yeah.
But Beard Minis just sort of asked as a sort of... I think it was just out of interest. He put on Twitter just saying, oh, what guilds do you connect with each podcast? And every time we were mentioned, it was Fish and Hunters, or one person said Navigators.
Yeah. Yeah, to be fair, with the amount of time I've been putting in complaining about that guild, I think we can claim that identity.
Yeah.
But, first captain, let's go with the first one announced.
Oh, bloody hell, all right. Here we go. Ryan, getting us back on track.
Yeah, you know what? You're dragging him to the weed, Alex. I'm sick and tired of it. It's a whole new year now. Right, no more fun. Mortician. Mourn. Mourn the nightmare.
Mourn. Mourn the mourn. Mourn the mourn. 30 mil base. I'll be honest, I'm surprised. I don't know if it was just how I was looking at it or, like, that I was expecting something different, but when I first saw that render in that first video, I was expecting a 40 mil base.
Oh, yeah.
I
don't know why. It's like a tiny, tiny
model. I thought the idea of this tiny little girl on a massive base just was like, for some reason, that was super the ring for me. Yeah. But yeah, so we got Grave Candle as character trait. When a friendly model within this aura is reduced to 0 HP before suffering takeout condition, the friendly model may recover health up to its recovery level. If it does, the enemy team gains 1 VP. So I think this is one of the ones that's going to absolutely...
Oh, 2 VP.
Yeah, did I say 1? Yeah. That'd have been good.
Yeah.
It's because I was thinking about mascots there, and I was going, well, because it says model, you wouldn't just lose a normal 1, you'd lose 2, even though the mascot's only worth 1.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting, but like, I couldn't really figure out when you'd use this, because I think that's just more me being too scared. As with most things, it's like I'd be too worried about the fact that they're going to hemorrhage the VP and just die again. Mm.
For me, the Grave Candle thing is meant to save the life of a model when you're nearing the end of a turn. Like, the classic example, I took you've got casket, it's fully loaded, you've been going through the motion to tool him off, try and single someone out, potentially.
Here comes the casket time, choo-choo.
Yeah. You know, Morn's gone, put Malik on, because you want to guarantee that casket time.
Mm.
And casket's already hard enough to kill, so even if he's gone taking a bit of hurt, he's quite a survivable model. Like, you're willing to.
Yeah, that's why I thought this wasn't a very good example.
But that's the thing, right? Like, say the guy has good prime the other guy has prime captivation. I go, okay, Jake, I go in.
Yeah.
Okay, no armor, snared already. Alright, now, fuck you and your tough hide, Harriet.
Yeah.
Alright, tough hide gone, your armor's gone. Alright, let's fucking do this. Reanimate, whatever, I don't care. Snared again.
Yeah.
Bang, 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 kill you. You're like going, fuck, I needed this casket time. I need casket on the board. Okay, bang, re-up him. Take the 2 VP, you've got that now, but you don't get the one thing you really want from killing a model and can kill. The whole point of the kill is to deny the activation.
Yeah.
More importantly, the thing about Grave Candle, it's not even it's a great I don't use it ability in the sense that you threaten it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go for casket to deny the casket time, but what's even the point now? It's already so hard to kill, I'd have to get him down to that level, and she's going to stand him back up again.
Yeah.
Fuck this, and leave him. Gas Duracum. It pre-identifies people from going after high priority targets.
Yeah.
Instead of going, fuck this, I'm just going to kill that one guy. If I kill him, the game's over. Oh, he's still there. I've got the VP, but the thing I actually wanted to stop, which was the 4 VP activation, or the goal run.
Yeah.
You know, a free ball floating out, bone cuff, here I come. Oh shit, standing back. You'll know ahead of time whether that'll be useful or not. Mm. Like, okay, bone cuff. If the other guy got one, it's melee, quick attack. Okay, clear condition, attack, dodge.
Yeah.
I'm free. Yeah, I think that's super situational, but in the situation where it is handy, it's good as a preemptive threatener to go ahead, try and kill that guy, heal the thing you want to prevent, it's gonna happen anyway because I want it to happen,
which really leans into that whole control thing of the morticians, doesn't it? It's just like you cut you manage to get, even if you can get the kill, is it even worth your time now? Which is just sort of going to be eating up clock, isn't it, while you're thinking about these decisions?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because we have to remind ourselves every now and then that there's a clock in Guild War.
Oh yeah. Fated controller, so matching Grave Candle in range. Once per turn, when another friendly model within the aura makes an attack, a kick, or character play, the friendly model may re-roll any number of dice.
So free confidence.
Yeah, or free navigation. But yeah, great. We all know, the only thing about this is you have to be within the aura. Not good for, if it's something you could take or give, and then they could keep it, that'd be great for, you know, the strike hold.
Yeah.
But for, when you've got a big activation on the horizon, charging maybe,
yeah.
You've got Grave going in there trying to get a cheeky diving blow and bleed a couple of guys, or you know, you've got that casket time that you really need to go your way. One good swing can really make or break a lot of how a model activates.
Yeah, but the thing is though, it's I know you said that the problem is you've got to be in the aura. All of the ranges on her character plays are so small, and they're all for friendlies.
Mm.
So she wants to be in the middle. She wants to be in the in the middle of your guys, like slightly away, step back from the action, just sort of throwing out these plays and these keeping the bubble of her traits, just trying to cover as much of your team as possible. Anyway,
to be fair, that's where Rank and Anger would come in.
Yeah,
you move her in, and Rank and Anger meant to do some kind of thing.
Yeah,
I think this is where her core weakness lies. I've been saying this before to you, like in our own time. Fear, resilience, Rank and Anger, them kind of like, oh no, you don't want to pay this price, dear. I don't think these are real defense in a way. No, don't get me wrong, they're great, and I don't want to give 2 MP if I can help. But yeah, I feel like going. I know I've constantly repeated over and over. I'm willing to pay those pricing.
Yeah.
But once I've eaten through Killian, once I've paid the price for fear, and once you've got your rising anger, all you're left with is a model with really shit defense.
Yeah. But in this case, the rising anger is just a bit of the icing, whereas resilience seems to be, or like fear, seems to be sort of baked into their defensive tech.
Oh, yeah.
Rising anger, she's 5-0 with 14 boxes. You know, that's a sort of normal amount of health for a 5-0 model, I think.
Mm.
You know, rising anger is just a bit of the icing on the cake. So.
For me, though, 5-0 is always one defense away from 4-0. 4-0, 14 health. So anyone who can knock down reliably. Mm.
Or snared for you.
Snared, more importantly.
Yeah.
The cook are going to have a great time.
Yeah.
I think that'll automatically make the cup a bad matchup for them all. Yeah, 14 health. That's one. 4-0 and 14 health. A lot of teams, it's one activation territory.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, just burn through you. Yeah, I don't know. The defense, I'm kind of give or take. But I think, yeah, if you're playing her right, I feel like your team should be getting in the way anyway.
Yeah.
Mally, plus 2 tack.
Yeah, so yeah, then rotten to the front of the card. 14 boxes, as said. Character plays, Malice, just one influence, 6-inch range, target friendly model gains plus 2 tack. I quite like this because you're getting the benefit of I Spy without having to risk the target. Do you see what I mean? You sort of, like 9 times out of 10 when you chuck out singled out or I Spy, for me at least, it's because I want to increase my chances of hitting a double dodge and disappearing. Like there's one particular activation or one particular influence use that I'm looking at utilising.
Yeah.
It's not like when a brawler team chucks down singled out, it's to try and just create a bundle, isn't it? So for me, Malice works really nicely, like chuck it on Bonesaw and dodge for days.
Yeah,
you know, I really like it.
And again, combine this with Hollowed, which is give her a friendly empathy. While attacking this model, play book damage, don't generate MP. Not, again, another one of the kind of illegit way to boost the defence. But for that model you put into plus 2 tack on and helping them get into the meat grinder, Hollowed kind of eats out some of the reward for counter-striking.
Yeah.
And depending on the situation, which is the classic, I'm extending a killer model out.
Yeah.
The normal, if they're saving their captain for captivation, okay, alright, I'm going to go in and try and build a bit of momentum.
Right, here comes Thresher. Yeah.
A lot of people rely on that generation of MP to actually, if they've got no MP and they start moving in on the empathy side, you're kind of looking for heart of the card to stop counter-attack from ruining your fucking ear. Because again, even anything then hurts. Knock down, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, potentially quick time.
Just lovely.
Target friendly 2-inch dodge.
Yeah.
Great for all you Bonesaw players out there who haven't, who are getting already greedy. You're 2 jobs. Playbook's nothing to write home, though.
Yeah, well, that's where she really comes down to the position of the fact that, you know, she's definitely there just to support the team.
Yeah.
She's clearly a model, a captain who's there to help the team do what they do, you know. Playbook is really, really. If she's using it, I think something's gone wrong, you know. Column 1 is a 1 or a momentous dodge, 2 is a tackle or double dodge, neither of them are momentous, and then at the top of the book on 3 she's got momentous 2, you know, she's only got tack 3. 6-8 move, 2-6 kick, defense 5, armor 0, 4-4, interesting influence stat. But I suppose
I think the thing is, we're looking to avoid a situation where you can go from now she malice herself and then go from a rap mission and dishing out,
I suppose, yeah,
momentum for Dave.
Yeah.
If you, even if you spent one for the malice and you jogged up and started hitting, you've got to wrap every hit, that'd be 10 momentum.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Potentially powerful.
Fair enough.
Yeah, 4, that way it kind of limits her wrap potential. Yeah, not getting too much damage. Can do damage at a push if she absolutely needs to. But yeah, doing a job as a coach.
The one influence, if you're looking to do damage, the one influence on hitting that non-momentous one of the momentous 2 is probably better spent chucking 2 tack onto Ghast or.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, or Graves, you know.
It's obviously not meant to be her. It's not meant to be her who's doing the attacking. Right. Like, I imagine there might be a couple of cheeky cut-up, but really, you know, the charge with an 8-inch of the pitch, trying to pitch, could be helpful. Yeah.
I was just thinking there, maybe you're looking to double dodge, wrap to the dodge, you know, then bounce off to, got on a weird janky goal run, but 2-6 kick, no.
Yeah, she can't re-roll her on a kick, so that can't the window.
Yeah, she's definitely just a coach. Well, not just a coach, but that's she is the coach, isn't she?
Yeah. She's only a little girl, but like, we can't give her too many knives and machine gun.
Yeah. But it's interesting, isn't it? How, like, I could not have imagined, like, well, the episode you'll never hear is because of how drastically wrong we thought these cards would be, you know? Like, I didn't see where any of these captains could possibly fit into an existing lineup, and they've managed to do it, you know, they've managed to find the space between spaces.
Yeah, well, Mom's definitely the black sheep of the captain. I think out of all of them, she's the one harder to compare. I think she's one of the new captain who had the harder time going up against the already spectacular captain. Scalpel, super solid right now. Orbula remained consistent throughout the game. I think out of all the captain, Mortician generally will have, if you really like Mom, I think the other captain pick will actually be a bit more of a tougher. I think she falls in line quite well with them, but I think it'll be harder to choose between.
Yeah. I mean, I've only played a few games with Morticians. I really don't see why I wouldn't just bring Obulus over her. I'm sure some people will find her.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Should we move on to what I think might be the shortest view, the Butcher Captain?
Yeah.
We initially had some prediction with the Butcher Captain, Vet Boar. I really like Vet Boar. I really like regular Boar.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we found with Vet Captain type is that a big weakness in Vet Captain type if they can't bring their model with them. Okay, Philly gets Vet up. Oh, can't bring himself, obviously.
Mm.
Which is a shame, because he can play against himself. Yeah. But one of the things you initially think when you get a vet captain type like this, it's like, well, fuck, his ball's weakness would be that he loses ball. Not only have they given you ball, they've given you the best version of ball you could possibly hope for.
Yeah, I really like the idea of the vet captains, like just in general. I really like the idea of them sort of progressing forward. Like, I like veteran models as they are and sort of comparing them to their previous one. And the idea that someone's improved to the rank of captain, I just prefer it to bringing in a new no name, as it were. You know, not that when Sherwin writes the law, it isn't always good. It is, you know. I don't think there's been any bit of Gilball writing where I've gone, oh yeah, I'm not too impressed by that. I've always thought it's been done well, like an introduction of a new character. But I would have preferred, I think, and I've only just thought of it now, but I think I would have preferred Morn to have been Vet Cosset.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then there's that whole thing of, you know, she, you know, maybe what came first, the car or the creepy girl?
Yeah.
You know, like, and of course Vet Cosset wouldn't look anything like the Morn card.
Yeah.
But I just think there's something nice about it that but then, you know, it traps you down that pigeonhole thing of well, you can't take this model with this captain. Yeah, it's a very delicate balancing act, isn't it?
This is where Vet Boar really comes in. Not only do he have the core abilities that make Boar a normal Boar really good, his abilities allow him to turn the team into Boar. Like, yeah, Berserk and Fury, they are what they are. Bloodlust, Kitchara. One per turn when another friendly model attack activation within the aura, the friendly model may spend one influence to gain Berserk. So, hypothetically, I've got, you know, Boiler.
Hmm.
Ah, fuck it. I'll blow the one, I'll gain Berserk. I've got 3 influence left. That 3 influence becomes hit pretty fucking quick.
Yeah, well, 90% of models die before you hit the end of that influence stack.
Yeah. The ability to basically, yeah, convert 4 influence into an effective 7, provided you can draw.
Hmm.
Even then, even if you go, right, okay, I've got 3 remaining, I've got a charge. They've made me do it, you know, they've outplayed me, charge. The 2, if you only had 4 influence, yeah, bang, you've lost the 2 for the charge and you've got 2 attacks. With 3, 2 for the charge, extra attack, 1, extra then another attack. So you're getting a free, basically, for 4 influence worth, you were getting a free charge for the basic killer. Like, you get, and that's even if you don't legendary, which fucking gives everyone furious.
Anyway,
that's like, but the whole thing is, like, even in a hypothetical world where you go, haha, you've spent 1 for Berserk, but now you've got a charge, you've lost influence, you idiot. No, I haven't. I immediately get that back.
Yeah.
So even in super suboptimal situation, it pays for itself. All the better if you can jog up and just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 with anyone, even from the shittiest models on the Butcher. Damage-wise, even their striker could do ridiculously well with this trait.
Yeah.
Brisket, fucking spectacular. Yeah, I think one of the best traits any captain in Guild Ball has them. I'd love for this to be on my home team. I imagine as a fisherman, you probably quite like a bit of cheeky...
This is the first time I've looked at Butcher's captain, and I've gone, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the first, this vet boar makes me go, oh yeah, I could, I'd be interested in chucking together a Butcher's list, trying it out.
Well, Ork initially kind of viewed as like the captain of the Butcher. Going back to the original concept of the game, Ork was the only captain of the Butcher, so it was viewed that he would be the killer. And in reality, he kind of turned into the support being due to the fact he struggled with maintaining range after counterattacks a lot better these days. Mm. But back in the day, it was very easy to go, okay, Ork, counterattack, double dodge, end of turn. Mm. We kind of ended up going, all right, I'll float around, everyone else can do attack, fuck it. Now, Boar, you've got the support captain, you have the goalie, the goal kicker with the striker, there we go, that's what I meant, with Philly.
The goal kicker.
Yeah, the goal kicker, the goal person.
Shows how much of the football game you
who,
play.
Who gets goal, yeah, yeah, the goal attainer. Yeah, that's Philly. Mm. Boar, feels like the first big activation. Go fuck yourself, captain, who's just going to run riot on everyone.
Boar is most definitely that, there's some models where like almost every turn when you play them, you get that moment where you sit forward in your chair, rub your hands slightly, and you go, right, this is I get it quite a lot when after I've sunk time and effort into creating the perfect death trap, and then I just go, Corsair activates, grab the six, slide it down, I drag the first one over, and I go, right. I think Boar is going to be that every activation. The only time you're not going to get that when you just go, okay, he's pinned, he's fucked. Like,
yeah, but he's got a lot of really great tools to deal with traditionally. Pinned, I think pinned to get rid of Boar has to go a very particular way. And it has to go in the kind of way where almost any model wouldn't be able to get out of it. Yeah, I'd need either terrain, I'd need a good bit of terrain, or the working for some reason, a friendly model activating directly in front of him. Mm. Which, if he's not gone, he's got Furious. Any Furious-minded guy. Like, I played two of my models for Furious on my team before Cena had it taken. But when you've got Furious, you're mindful of who's in the way and who's going. Mm. There's not a butchering player in the world who's going to dunking players in front of the ball for no reason. So the charge lane will likely almost always be open. Yeah, I think pinned will only happen in very certain situations. Or, you know, the Obulus-style playing of jog that way.
Yeah.
But that's four, even on the Obulus, four to get basically a void one activation. And even then, even if the butchering player goes, fucking, you've got me, whatever. That's two influence down the drain.
Yeah.
That's not counter-attacking up or getting rid of him and going, yeah, okay, well, fuck, go fuck me. Off, I'll fill it and can't go fuck my car. He goes, whatever, okay, activate, you get the two for free, I don't make the charge, boom, I am going to legendary, yeah, everyone furious.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the getting rid of Boar turned into, well, I can't get rid of everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking solid. Can't believe how good
he is. Yeah. I mean, and we haven't even got to the front of the card yet.
Yeah. Yeah. His Bloodlust and his legendary together, it's like, it turns like an average four influence butcher player, you know, you boil him, even Shank.
Mm.
Yeah, get charged for free, kick influence, Bloodlust for the one I'm looking at, fucking yeah.
Mm.
charge plus six, eight influence worth of payback.
Mm.
On just a move, like a team, like my previous hunting team with 10 influence.
Yeah.
Shank, okay, I'm in legendary range, furious, one for the berserk. I now have an active 8 influence. Fucking I can't, unreal how good the thing. So much gone, I'm expecting to get nerfed.
Really,
it would not shock me at all if Butcher's player, who've already been on a bit of a comeback now, that the errata rate really gave my hand, wouldn't shock me at all if Boar just that fucking running riot on the pitch and people going, wait a minute, why is Princess destroying me?
Yeah.
Yeah, shit. Before we even get to the front of the card.
Yeah.
Oh. Alex, tell them the stats that people are going to lose to.
Yeah, so we got melee zone 2. 2-inch melee zone on a Butcher's captain.
Excellent.
Woof. Yeah. We got a move of 5-7, attack of 8, kick 2-6, but if you're kicking with him, something's gone wrong.
Yep.
Defense armor 3-1, and then 4-2 influence. Particularly like the fact that he's got a 2 influence cap, whereas I'm quite used to giving captains everything or nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like my flow chart, usually like Corsair gets 6 or he might get 1. You know, it's very rare that I give them 3 or 4. The fact that Boar's everything is 2 influence and he's still bringing the 4.
Yeah. It's effective, right? Because the 2 we've got on him, obviously, with Berserk, they get doubled into 4. The charge that generates from Berserk, he's got an effective 7 on him with an already spectacular playbook. Bear in mind, this guy brings 4-2 With Hink ability, Tapper, after the errata, bring 3 Hinks now.
Mm.
With 5, effectively with all Jake, but you spend a momentum. It's not that spectacular. And Tapper's ability, and Hink's meant to be the actual fucking killer on the Brewers, who I'd argue the Brewers are meant to be the second beta team behind Butcher. Like, Butcher get bleed, they get the whole thing. Brewers get knocked down.
Mm.
And hypothetically favourable result. Don't get me wrong, knocked down is the worst condition in the game to have. But if you compare Bork to someone like Tapper, who does not even have a chance of going up against Hink Influence proficiency. And bear in mind, Tapper's ability, Hink Influence generation. +1 attack, +1 damage. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can... The whole thing with Bor in the moment, just looking at the fucking card. Yeah, 7 influence for the price of 2. He generates 4. So he's already just by default at full stack. Most captains, if you fully load them, usually have a -2 influence attack.
Yeah.
They bring 4, -2 if you want to fully load, depending on the captain. Bor brings +2 at full, and he generates the effect of 7. He getting for the 2-inch melee. Berserk on a 1-inch melee character like Rage means if you counterattack, the onus is on me to try and pick the knockdown or try and negate your counterattack somehow.
Mm.
Because Bork 2-inch melee, provided you don't clear the condition ahead of time, if he can just get base to base, you can't negate Berserk. Even if, like, okay, for the sake of argument, you've got knockdown double push. Okay, Bork base to base. Fine, fuck you, counterattack. Knockdown double push. That'll teach you for taking damage. Okay, I clear the condition.
Yeah.
Berserk isn't cancelled out by knockdown. It effectively gives you a phantom influence back that can only be spent on another attack.
Mm.
So once you play the knockdown, you're free to go nuts then. Absolutely, you just go crazy with it. If you just make it back to back, you're golden. And then, yeah, alright, I've done my charge. I hit it, okay. And now I get my full fucking 7, and there's nothing you can do. And more importantly, this comes with, early on, 2 fucking hits on 12 attack on a charge, provided no other intervening. 2 hits, 1 point of damage singled out. Fucking, what more do you want, lady?
That is that.
Assuming you get fucking, what's the likelihood you're going to roll 12 attack? Like, here we're going up against Anvil. 3 armor, lot to come out of a charge. How many ones do you have to throw to not get the thing left? Even if you've got 6 defense, what's the likelihood?
Charging Angel, 6 defense. Yeah.
You know what? Like, in case you already had Nimble, I'll defensive 7, take 1 dice out. Oh no, 11 dice. I'm in cover. Oh no, 10 dice.
Yeah.
Alright, you know what? For some reason, Angel has a point of armor. Oh no, 9 dice. I'm just looking for 2 hits. Singled out. Yeah. Fucking that come up. And a point of damage to boot. If that had just been a playbook roll, I could easily see that. If that was a non-momentum singled out on 3 on its own, I'd have gone... Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'd have viewed that spectacular result. You just do it on the berserk attack.
Yeah.
He gets the berserk and then singled out. Jumped off that.
Yeah.
On the charge. Gee, yeah. It's like going, yeah, I get that. Fucking.
And how many times are you going to be charging, hitting the momentous 6 at the top of the book and wrapping to do a singled out with an extra 1, which is just a middle finger?
Yeah, that'd be, a momentous 6, and you know, for the trouble, 1 singled out. Because the charge is where it's most likely to hit it.
Yeah.
So on that initial thing, unless you're a tough hide model, but the problem is, tough hide models generally have shit defense. That's the compensation.
Mm.
So you're more likely to hit the 4 and singled out on the model who can actually put up a bit of a fight than 3 ones of the world. And let's just assume, for the sake of argument, you've got a 2-inch melee guy, which a lot of people will. Yeah, like 3-1, I need to hit 5 times on 12 tack. Even if you're defensive, them numbers are favourable. Yeah, okay, you've got tough hide, 4 down to 3 and singled out. Now your defense has gone away. I'm going to do my berserk. I'm out of a knockdown. Alright, fucking hell, 2-1 now. Alright, I'll roll again. Alright, fine, you've got me. 4 down to 3 and a dagger. Okay, more dice coming in now. Shit, -2 defense. I've said this before and I'll say it again. -2 defense will make any model in this game shit. 6 defense, give me anyone. 6 defense, 12 health, -2 defense, shit model. 3 fucking, 3-2. Good stat line for anyone else. -2 defense, okay, 2 and an extra dagger. Will effectively cancel out a point of armor. And when you've got an effective 10 tack on most attacks, and don't tell me you aren't going to hit that single down every fucking time. I want to put this one on the board next game we play, just to see how pissed off I can get you or what this knobhead can get away. You know what, I realize I think I've turned in real time. I'm like, oh my god, it's so good. I've gone like, actually, holy fucking shit. Oh god.
It's been
talk, Alex.
I was gonna say it's been quite a ride just sitting here listening to you just sort of get more and more excited and more animated. And you know how when we started talking about him, I said, yeah, I think I might try Boar. I don't think I'm gonna get a chance now because I think you're gonna have our Butcher's team. Just
yeah. I think by the time I'm done, I think you're gonna hate him so much. You're like, fuck you and your cheap carrot. The only thing that's gonna make you feel better about it is your own cheap captain. But I think Bar, even against the Fisherman and Hunter of the world, don't get me wrong, I think the Fisherman and Hunter captain, which we'll get into in a minute, a fucking amazing great captain. He just rock solid. Oh, fucking God.
You know what is breaking my heart, though? Kill Ebb.
He can kill Ebb?
He can do it.
Even Ebb can't fucking...
He charges for free. He does 2 damage. He gets the berserk. He does two damage.
One inch melee.
Yeah.
No counter attack. Go fuck yourself.
So he charges.
You need the 2.
Charges, does a 2 damage. Berserk, does a 2 damage. Attack, does a 2 damage. Berserk, does a 2 damage. Attack, does 2 damage. Berserk, does 2 damage. Ebb's gone.
You can kill Ebb, which automatically makes him the most overpowered model in the game. To be fair, that captain's all over. You need a captain to wipe out Ebb. And he's got quite good other results as well. Mm. He's got a double push in, because he's got 8 attack. What would normally be hard for other model to get, like, double push, 4 up, I'm going to be a bit of a tall order. When you've got fucking 8 tack, effective, and again, effective 12 on your first one, effective 10 the rest of the time, if you're not being an idiot, provided, there's one of the few models for that going, grudge match, you ain't it?
Yeah.
Unless you're just being greedy, which you can be.
It's a terrifying playbook to behold, as it is, and then you realise he's got a brewer's book, and then you just go, that's just... I would love to know who pissed off Bryce and Perkins and the dev team on the day they created this monstrosity.
Yeah.
I wanna know what the phone call was or what the email they received that made them go, right, okay, here we go.
I can only ever see them getting a nerf very quickly. I honestly think, and don't get me wrong, I don't think the model itself so much. I think Bloodlust and Chop Chop will have to just come down a bit. Or even Chop Chop alone.
I think the issue is where you said before the Ox was meant to be a damage dealer. Well, not was meant to be. Started his life as a damage dealer and has almost become the support captain. Mm. The issue is, Boar is both at the same time and very good at it.
I feel like an Ox player would kill for the support ability Boar has, in addition to doing all the damage he does, in addition to the influence efficiency Fury is going to bring. And then he brings an extra 2 on top of already. Mm. I genuinely think he'll...
I think the extra damage that Ox gives is going to be balanced out by Bloodlust. The saving grace of Bloodlust is it's once per turn.
Once per turn. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But still, fucking... For me, bring Chop Chop down to... I know people would hate to hear this. Bring it down to, like, 2 inch.
Nah.
No. Make them pay for, like, fucking... The whole team having Furious. And 12-inch aura. That's fucking consumed, by the way. Like, effectively...
Plus a 40 mil base.
Yeah, effectively 13.5 inch of aura covering the pitch. Bring it down a little. Having the whole team have Furious. Even a mascot does ridiculous damage on Furious.
Especially the Butcher's mascot.
Yeah. And yeah, fuck it, Princess going in for free. Mm. Even, I just think it's a bit much. 3 inch, reasonable. At least then you've got to go, here are the guys I want to have Furious. Or like you bundle them up like that. And even then, I think even if you went, my whole team bundling 3 inch aura.
You're getting in each other's charge lanes.
You start.
I think 4 is the smallest you're going to see it go down to.
The thing I don't like is that he can reasonably charge himself and then other models behind him can still get the aura. Mm. I think if it's like, okay, Ball waits until last and everyone else is just firing off him and then he'll end. I think that's fair enough. Like, if he was like more of a support thing, like I'm giving up balls and making activation or putting it off. That's the way I view it. Even if you just, let's say for the sake of argument, the 5 guys just get in front of 3 inch or just piling in front of him. One at a time, they all fuck off Furia. That's not denying Borg turn. That's just putting it off until a more convenient time. Mm. I think that'd be a fair enough price to pay. With Chop Chop, it's like at any time, at any point, I charge and it's still golden. I kind of feel like that. At least it's not a pulse. I think I'll give him that, but I do think, look, if Bloodlust and Chop Chop don't get enough, I will be shocked. I genuinely think there are just going to be turns where people are just... The 4 models dying in a turn, 5 models dying in a turn, style activation.
I don't know. I honestly think that...
Because this is right. When a new model comes out, oh yeah, great, great. Like, but don't talk about nerf already. Compare this guy to Tapper, who's meant to be Mr. fucking Brewer's beatdown. What does Tapper have on this fucking guy? Imagine putting your Brewer's kicks down going, all right, this is my Brewer's beaty team.
Mm.
And this guy, this fucking model down, going like, good fucking luck forming a scrum against. If you form a scrum against me, the joke is on you. Like, go ahead.
But a huge amount of his, you're saying that he's really influence efficiency, but the huge amount of his influence efficiency is the Furious and Berserk combination. If you can lock him down,
the amount it would take to lock this guy down. He gets knocked down really easily. He gets double pushed really easily.
Even though he's got an 8 tack, I don't think 4 is really easy.
3 Cooper double though. Again, I get a 2-inch melee guy back to back, knocked down, okay, great. And the 2-inch melee beaters who have terrifying counter-attack that are needed to really lock a guy down. By default, I have shit defense. I knock you down, great, I'm free again. I'll fuck off and get someone else. The amount of work it'd take to put this guy in a lockdown or no situation. It can tackle the situation where he'll do good damage anyway. Even if you lock down the Fury, which is the most you can hope for, he'll still get berserk, and he'll still run riot, and he'll very likely comfortably walk away 12 damage minimum. And I think I'm being generous on that front. I think he could easily comfortably walk away with 12 damage on any model in the game at the moment. Not in that human you've taken away Fury. Yeah, mother of God. I can't wait to play him. I can't wait to play him. Have I called you on that bar?
It's the first time I've ever looked at a butcher's card and gone, I'd like to try that out. There's just something, I don't know, there's just something about the point and click aspect to his game plan that clicks with me there.
I think it's the thing like with you know Rage, you always imagine the optimal activation with him. I get furious, berserk, blah blah blah, and I do the full thing, but there's always that kind of like might counter push me now, okay, I'll take it, not down well. The thing with bar, that dream team activation, provided it being fucked up somehow, kind of think to yourself, I'm good. That dream activation pretty much every time. Like, okay, it's like, what's that Dolmio? Like, perfect every time. It's just like, yeah, no matter who Borg's fighting, he'll turn them into Lucania every time. And I can't wait to get my old board. Sorry, I didn't mean for that to say. I just genuinely thought, oh yeah, ball. Look at Fury, whatever. And the more I read it, I'm like going, oh, 24 health, by the way. Which can only be matched by a farmer at this point. Thank God he doesn't have Life Drinker. Oh, what a horrifying model. Which means I can't wait to fucking run from
there. You're going to ruin several of my days, I think.
Oh, yeah. Right, me and Alex played a game.
Yeah, so we played a game just before Gordon. Tried out the new hunters and new fish. Capitans.
I feel even though I managed to win the game, I view this as like a cough victory. You were literally within the millimetre of winning. Like, if I'd have had one activation, one roll go wrong for me.
Twice.
I think that I needed roll on Fathom to hit 3 times.
Oh no, I mean there was 2 situations where if one roll had gone wrong, you'd have lost.
When you counter-attacking.
If you hadn't in that, so there was, so in that activation where you were needed to kill Fathom and Sakana and going on Sakana, if one of the Fathom rolls had gone wrong, Sakana would have just gone and scored and won.
Yeah.
And then when that parting blow on Yukai was just absolutely crucial.
That would have been definitely would have been favourable.
It's the only time I've ever sat there going, I wish I could just bonus time my defence somehow.
That'd be a cool trick, right? parting blow, pretty fucking brutal on especially on the model that I can knock down on 2. But sometimes you've just got to fucking go hard with the dice, don't you?
It was the only way I could have won that game.
We played a game that I think 12-8 to me, but there were a couple of times, and we'll get to one.
Well, you came up from 8-4 down.
Yeah,
8-2 down, maybe 8-4.
You got your second goal relatively quick. But also meant like I had that thing again where the board position was generally on my side. At least I thought it was until Yukai came in. We both played a game, new captain. Steeljaw versus Yukai. Team building, what were you thinking?
So when I went in, when I was looking at Yukai and I was looking at the card, I didn't see any possibility for any kind of takeout game. When I know that some people try and build flex into most of their lists, but I find myself when I'm playing sharp that it's only 3-0, it's only 3-0. That's the only way I'm going to score all my points. So I bring an all-star striking squad. I don't bring anyone for the damage because I see that as a wasted opportunity to have a striker on the pitch. When I play Corsair, it's more of a 50-50 sort of split between strikers and the scrum because I could try and go for a 2-2 game. And I saw Yukai as taking Shark's like role there, you know, from the strikers. But having got them on the board, I think there's comfortably a possibility to build a 2-2 around this.
Oh yeah, what were the other model you think I'm backing the 2-2?
So the team I brought was Yukai, Tentacles, Fathom, Angel, Sakana, and Siren. Siren, I got no work out of her this game, but I think some of that was due to the nature of the fact fact how you kept putting the ball out to the opposite side of the pitch.
Yeah.
But I think that was obviously because Siren there was there to threaten the seduced or the Ullalure. So I think she basically did work by just being there and threatening.
Yeah.
What I would probably do based off that though is I'd like to try one where I don't bring Siren and just to see how much of the threat actually was sort of, I don't know, actually was there and how much of it was just sort of imagined by me. So I drop Siren and thinking about dropping Angel. As much as I want that Lynx and I want that magic activation, and as much as I think Yukai will benefit from snapshots and Angel is just the snapshot turret of the century, I want the 2-inch melee and the anatomical that Sakana brings, and I think it's one of them had to drop. So I'll drop them and I'd bring in Kraken and Jack.
Yeah.
And I think that them two can probably get one takeout, maybe two between them, or just shove someone off the pitch. Especially if you find yourself being forced down one side or the other.
Yeah.
But I think it is definitely more of a 3-0 game, and that's where. But that's coming at it from my viewpoint, and I prefer the football game. I've always preferred the football game. That's when I look at a board, my instinctual reaction is how am I going to get the ball? How am I going to score?
Yeah.
You know, looking at models' health pools and stuff like that is secondary. My immediate thought is, how easy is it for me to get the ball? Can I get a goal?
Yeah.
But Yukai was just incredible. Like, just completely turned the game on its head. Like, what was your idea? Mind, what was your thinking behind your Steeljaw 6 before we go into the game?
The Steeljaw, the whole thing Steeljaw, is like obviously revolves around trap. Everyone getting big game trap while she's on the pitch, and the extra thing got me mainly thinking that I should try and bring more models that don't naturally have trap to try and maximise what they can do. But I also Steeljaw more than Ferron for me. I don't factor in Scaffer.
It's just completely not the way you play, is it?
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea. Ferron is my guy. I like how flexible he is. And I would remain that Ferron is more flexible than Steeljaw generally. But I think Steeljaw has a way better takeout game.
It was horrifying being on the receiving end of that.
Yeah.
I just hemorrhaged players at one point. I think you got 4 takeouts in one turn.
No, it was like about the end of the turn, beginning of the turn. I think two of them died at the top of the turn. Two of them died at the beginning of the other turn. But yeah, super reliable. But Steeljaw naturally is a influence captain who you need to bring a full stick of butter for. So my natural gut instinct to bring Keane and Hearn together, who always do well, with draining influence, and I probably won't be able to fully stack him anyway. But I thought went out with Keane and Hearn, I thought Hearn will get the trap, can human, and he can bring other shit. More importantly, the free character play, which like I said before, effectively can make Steeljaw 8 of them, which is where she absolutely shines. So I went with Steeljaw, obviously, for hard. Why wouldn't I? Hearn for single doubt and the free character play. Agret for a bit of point and potential to add to that bleed, to really make think. And good striker. 8-inch sprint, quick strike, and free 8 kick. Quite solid on board. JK, who I think benefits way more from this new track. The fact he lost bleed previously, now that he can get it back, brings his damage potential way up. And he already had a trap before, but the extra benefits, more importantly, with bleed and weak point available now. It means he can chew through even hard armor targets. So anyone who has 2 armor, JK has got a really good chance again just running through now. And last but not least, Minerva, who I didn't normally bring. But 2-3, bring Harrier. So if I really need that damage potential, I can get it. Bring Ice Spy, which combined with Single Doubt, just spell for the end of any model. And she's got a couple of cute abilities, like, you know, Nocturnal Hunting. The free come on, mate, if you kill someone within that range. Nice, for a better MP efficient. 2-inch melee, always good. Help looping the 2-inch melee for Keen. And her off. But my general thinking, a lot of models who normally don't get trapped, JK being the exception, but benefit from the new ability, with my general thinking going into it.
Oh. So we'll fly through Steeljaw's card. The one you're referencing there is Bring Him Down. That's a character trait. While this model's on the pitch, friendly human models gain big game traps.
Yeah.
Then Expert Trapper. While this model's on the pitch, when an enemy model triggers a trap marker, choose one additional effect, weak point or the bleed condition.
More importantly, you get trapped off in order. Like, you can get them off all simultaneously and go, oh no, well, I guess I'll take a bleed. I'll put another one down, try and. If you get off through a trap, bleed, weak point, boom. And snared as well. So you choose the additional effect. So they're already being snared. Oh, for nothing. Just for the audacity of triggering a trap. Snared, bleed, and if another trap's down, weak point. And 2 damage to boot. Cash money. What more could one ask for? Mm. One push remote.
Which she gets momentously on one.
Two? Oh no, one push on one, but the other push I'm thinking of, bait. Mm. We'll get to that in a second. But legendary, perfect conditioning. Kick-kinch pull. You may immediately move any number of trap markers from the pitch. So the trap markers don't even have to be near you for you to remove them. They can to free up your trap on it. You go, okay, all the trap come off if I want, then I get to immediately put five down.
Mm.
At the top of, on the top of it, not a big deal. This is where deal drop potential really comes out. In many ways, you can share the legendary. Compared to some legendary, I don't think I'm good. But in the right situation, very helpful. Like, if I have to compare it to Divana, who gets basically a kick-kinch diving blow and snared on top of that, compared to that legendary, not good. On her own, though, I think this legendary really shine in isolating high defense targets. I think this is where her model really comes alive. And we saw it in the game. I was going up against five defense models who you can never reliably really go after. So I'm going, okay, five traps on top of them. Okay, I've triggered them with a push, five damage, bleed, snared, weak point. Okay, I put my own trap down because she still gets her own additional trap. Then I bait, which is her character player, which you can kick-kinch pull, which, weirdly enough, matching the range of a legendary. And she can immediately put two friendly trap markers down and then get to push two enemies within a kick-kinch pull. It costs two to buy, but with her and about, I can use the free character play. And I get it on two hits on the playbook. Super fucking reliable. No reason to buy it, unless you're not sure you'll get it on the playbook. But if you've got her around, not a problem. All vet main potential. Yeah. The good thing I like about this, because it's viable, if they counterattack and push out, dodge out, base to base, you just go, oh, fuck you then. Buy it, you're back.
Yeah.
And you've blown your counterattack now, and you've snared, and you've bled. Again.
It's choose as well. It's choose again. We're seeing choose come up more and more in the new cards.
The more
there's
I think,
no, there's no role against it. It's just, I pay the price, this happens.
That's the thing. High defense models who are normally unpredictable to crack.
Mm.
The thing that makes high defense models predictable in killing is the ability to lower defense.
Mm.
The reason why Corsair does good against the Matagi of the world or the other angel of the world is that he can get knocked down real reliable. 4 hero defense is literally a world away from 5 statistically. So because I can just go, alright, this fucking got 5 defense, I don't know. Okay, pull. 3-2 damage, you snared your bleeding, which is 5 damage total for that one hit player, and snared. And you know, affecting your bleeding and snared, you've kind of got to pay the price and heal ignition. And now I've taken 4 healing off. Excellent. Because you know how much 4 healing does for a 5 defense target. 5 defense is like a soft, tough hide.
Yeah.
Like, it pays off so much more. So once I've lowered your defense, I've brought you back in, I've done damage, I've added the condition. If you had the nerve to have armor, I've removed that. Can't put bait down. Or even better, if I don't feel like giving you, if I can't get anything out of the weak point, another defense model, boom, one damage for you, bleed. Mm. Excellent.
Scattering it out through the team. It was that there was a point at the end of the second or the third turn where I looked down, I was taking the 3 damage off the bleed, and I was just like, shit, all of my guys are almost dead. Like, it's just it can be ruinous,
eking you out. Yeah. And when you throw in a Gret into that situation, who I wasn't even fully utilizing, but just the one turn I put a quick pulse out there.
Mm.
But yeah, flurry, blah blah blah, couple of guys are poisoned again.
Yeah.
Chipping you out early, and before you know it, people are just on the verge of dying. And that bleed really came back to haunt. On one of my better turns, where I had Fathom already engaged and Karna nearby, the fact she'd already been bled out. Yeah. And already been snared meant, okay, great, I could just bang, put the snare back on you, chip you out. And that's where her playbook comes in, which is not even that great of a playbook for our captain. She's comparable to Farron in many ways. Same movement, same kick, same defense, same health, same influence generation, slightly less attack, 5 compared to kick. But her playbook is almost identical to Farron. Knocked down on 4, momentum 3 on 5, push dodge, pushing early. But really, in terms of her playbook, not that different from Farron. It arguably worse because Farron has more attack.
Mm.
But the fact she can soften you up and make that 2 way more reliable. If you've got low defense, I'm into guaranteed hitting everything territory. If you've got high defense, I can reliably hit the 2, which is all I need. And yeah, then you're bleeding and snared and all that stuff. And you can't get away with a counter attack. Even double dodge, double push, push dodge, things that would normally ruin the day of a 1-inch melee captain who wants to blow their kick influence. I pay for the bait, you are back. No rolls needed, baby. And I get to just finish off my stick. And if I can just, for on a legendary turn where I use bait for one, if I get a free character play, for the audacity of like, it's okay, I have one influence, I don't even have a free character play. Legendary, 5 trap. Okay, walk up to him, push him, 5, whatever. Okay, 2 influence, off the top of my head. Okay, 1 hit, I put my own trap down again. 1 hit, I get bait, 3 damage, snared, bleed, weak point, 2 influence, point of momentum to show for it. It does not matter how good your defense is, if I could just get that 1 hit,
yeah,
even on a kick. stupid. It was so good. Decam and weak point for the additional fuck you. So even when you're already having a nightmare situation, she can just come in and take the power right from a model.
Yeah.
Minus two tack, fucking ruiner for a lot of models. Especially Striker, who already have a nightmare time dealing with track. Now they have to deal with her on top. Minus two, from what of Striker, minus two tack plus arm. It's just, I don't get a turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, brilliant.
What was interesting was playing into it, you ended up using your traps completely different to how you usually use them.
Yeah. Normally traps, can you normally get snared and 1 point damage. Not game change, really. I like to put them out there preemptively to encourage you moving, and generally just to go, if you want to come through here, got a loop to 2 inch, there you go.
Yeah.
That kind of it. And just to make snared, I usually put traps down just to make snared such a pain in the eye condition you don't mind having it.
Yeah.
So going, fuck it, I'd rather heal than get rid of snared, and I can take advantage of the minor content. But generally I'm not trapped, I'm just there to kind of IQ a bit and go, 10 out of 10 you wouldn't pay the price, you have no choice.
Yeah.
And you get your points anyway, but it's just there to kind of be an annoyance. With this, because of bleed in particular, click change okay, they now all do 4 damage each, and because of the way she is, and that almost every player can put one out if you're playing it right, if you've got 5 humans knocking around, you can max out trap every turn, guaranteed. They just get it. But I should be doing my best to trigger them often, fast as possible, knowing I'm getting snared and bleed on you, eking you out. All of a sudden, push on any playbook coming from might be tempting for an option. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're really weaponizing them now.
Absolutely.
Whereas before, they were like, what you often do is, if there's a free ball, you put a trap marker right next to it. So then the majority of the time, if I'm advancing to get to it, once I then hit the snare, I haven't got the movement to finish off and go where I need to go. Whereas now, you're properly going, I put it down base to base with you and push you. I put, like, oh man, she was awful. She was truly, truly awful to play into. I've got to change my hunter plan now.
I think
really got to change. Do you think that? I suppose it's a different question for you, because you normally, when you go to a tournament, you just take 6 models, and it's the same 6 every single time.
How many can you bring?
12 now.
12, yeah. What? 2 mascot, 2 captain.
Yeah.
8 moot.
Yeah. Or you can bring as long as you bring 1 captain and 1 mascot minimum. So you could bring.
Oh, you can go now. Yeah.
Yeah, you could bring 10 squaddies if you want.
Okay.
Do you think you bring her?
I probably would. You know, the thing I like about Steel Jaw. Like, yeah, I don't think her legendary is good, but I don't think it's that, like, spectacular compared to some legendary. And her Feren brings a lot. He brings his heroic, which he can put on anyone, give him a free character player, they can do all sorts. And Feren is a surprisingly good kicker and dodger. If you really need him, he can do really well with a lot of things captains struggle with. And Feren, because of the forest, he enables her, he can give himself a point of soft armor if he really needs it, because of the cover he can get from his own forest. Even though she's comparable to Feren in many ways, I genuinely think Feren beats her, but she's super annoying to play against. I'll fully admit that. I normally bring my own kit. My natural, if no, you've forgotten. It's been a while. Feren, Fahad, Hearn, Kina, Chaska, and now Vetmink, replacing Jay Carvor. Because that's 3 free character play, a bunch of maneuverability, everyone's enabling everyone else.
It's horrible.
Yeah. With her, instead of the old team of the model going any order and the help the other one out, I think with this team, I have another kit to work with. Yeah, I'd bring her, I'd probably bring Minerva, Jaycar, Agret, maybe Ulfra, why not?
Yeah.
And then one to spare, whatever. I'm gonna bring whoever. I think Minerva and her do a lot of work for her, because of the extra dice. Because it's much more now, I think, with her, a big activation.
Yeah.
Because Feren's not a big activation guy. He's not always Mr. Quick Influence. He's good on the opening turn, but he's not guaranteed. And yeah, I think having them couple of enablers like Hearn and Minerva around to really punish people for overextending. Just that idea as well of taking your 5 defense, they can't be touched mod, and going, all right, evil full stick of butter, surely can't.
Yeah.
You know, it takes so much to knock her down. Like, I just need him to botch a couple of rolls and I'm gold. For her to go legendary. Yeah, boom.
Yeah, there was a moment in our game that we just played where it was when I had 8 and Sakana was on for we both thought it was like a in the bag goal run.
Yeah.
And you went, how much health have you got? And I went, he's still got 14, he's on full. And then I blinked and he was dead. Well, at the end of that activation, he'd gone down to 8 and then you killed him the next turn, didn't you? It was monstrous, the output she has. And and it's like momentous the entire time she's doing it. That's the thing that's really scary about it. She's chucking traps down, hitting the momentous push, or she's hitting the momentous bait, or if she's really going for it, she's hitting the momentous 2 or 3. It's not like you've got to pay. I don't really really feel like you pay a price there.
The thing, she's not, without a legendary, she's not particularly explosive. Like, no, even then, right, Kakana, arguably, might have provided. Like, could we look at Vetball already? Mm. In a one-on-one situation where Steel Jaw, Gogan, legendary after legendary, you hopefully I get off the bait and I'm a golden there, and alright, I've done damage, I can arguably kill Kakana. Vetball wouldn't even have to touch it, wouldn't consider legendary, and he'd just run in, run a train, and it'd be a miracle Kakana for that.
Mm.
I think a lot of things need to go her way. And then I think bleed is factored into her damage as well. The new ability for everyone to get bled. More importantly, I kind of have to, the legendary works best when you get all five off. You want the five damage and then all condition.
Yeah.
I have to give up all the other traps or make sure I'm triggering them literally every time.
One thing that's put me off trying the sort of hunters list that you sort of play, because I've wanted to play Scatha for a while. Because you play hunters, I've kind of not wanted to drop them, because otherwise we're just playing the mirror all the time. Yeah. Well, I wanted to play the Scatha game from probably about mid season 3.
To be fair, if you went, I played hunter, I'd probably play someone else.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be that bothered. Before this, I was messaging you for a couple of days going, I've just got a new Bruin team, like, yeah, fucking, yeah, Bruins, yeah, on board. And yeah, very rarely, because new shit coming out, I'm going to be playing them. But I think going up my hunter team, I genuinely think she might be good as well.
The thing I quite like about her is the get out of jail free. The you can remove any number of friendly trap markers from the pitch part of her legendary. Because I just know that when I try and play a trap marker game, I'm going to end up placing three and going, oh, no one is ever going to trigger. Oh, what have I done? You know, so like getting to the turn two, turn three, going, okay, let's just forget that problem I had and we'll start again.
In fact, the one thing I would actually quite like, I know it's already asking for quite a lot, I wouldn't mind on the legendary turn if she could just exceed the limit for the one turn, and then once the turn's over, if you haven't used the five, whatever, you just take markers off down to five. So you can kind of five going, okay, I put nine around one guy, and legendary over.
I think that's exactly why you can't do it.
The thing is, I'd like to just exceed it, even if it's just for her activation.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is, like, I like to play a trap preemptively and play the field a bit, and you can kind of find it. I think it kind of makes you, I don't know how to put it, it plays the game for you anyway. The correct way to play with her and make the most out of the legendary is to be activating traps every single time, so you've got the five available. Like, if you're picking up traps to free up the five,
yeah,
you're kind of, you know, giving up potential damage and condition already just for the one big activation. You're fucking up all your positioning, you're fucking up all your preparation. I would have preferred it if, yeah, compared to some legendary who are like mind blowing legendary, I think legendary, I wouldn't mind just being able to exceed it just for the one activation and go, okay, I'm not giving up all my great positioning and trap potential just for, but at the end of the day, for the cake of five damage, which I'm the condition I'm going to get anyway on the trap she already gets. Bait, guaranteed. Like, between bait and her trap, she gets three damage and all the conditions. Legendary, five damage and all the conditions. It's not like a mind-blowing, it's in addition to all that,
yeah,
but I think it wouldn't hurt. Okay, you get the aura activation. You don't have to give up all your other trap to just go boom. I kind of get it. I get on paper why they think you're powerful, but compare that to the vet ball they're throwing out, who have, like, everyone get furious. Like, if you hit even half your team, kick influence worth of efficient, you know, in addition to what they already get.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, boiler kick four kicks now, the three furious. Like, yeah, I don't think it'd be the end of the world to let her exceed trap limit. I half wonder if the only reason they've done that is because most people are only going to have five traps. You'd have to have additional mark and all that. But make the legendary one temporary. In that case, you put five down, and at the end of the legendary one disappear at the end of her activation. Trigger them at your own peril, but you don't get to just have them.
Yeah.
You've got to use them somewhere. But yeah, I wouldn't mind that. But I get why they've not done it, for the sake of the model people having, and yeah, potential, you know.
Oh, see, I think it's just because coming at it from the other side of the table, it was already terrifying enough.
Mm.
You know, like, yeah, and it sort of works. Like, the way you play your traps in that your therapy game is entirely different to how you're playing them in this.
Yeah.
If they brought out a squaddy who you played in your Theron list with that legendary, I'd understand what you mean, because you're using them as a resource to sort of deny areas of pitch, or to, yeah, basically as a resource to deny areas of the pitch. Whereas when you were playing Steeljaw, they almost didn't have that role anymore. I think one did one. At the time, it was, I jog up, I drop, I hit push. You know, they were a one damage snare and bleed machine. They weren't the denial, the snare threat that they were.
No, I'm willing to be that one. I think if you throw it out there, like, I don't like, if on its own, you'll go, like, man, it's not fucking good.
Yeah.
But when you see what other captains are getting, you go, well, wait, like, how come I have to give up my investment? This is the reason the captain's being brought. Like, I'm giving up the captain investment. And again, Ferrin and Scatha bring quite a lot. and I don't think they pay as much for what they invest. Like, Gaffer and Ferran get a lot of really good free shit that enable their team to do all sorts of kooky, awesome stuff. Where her whole thing is trap, 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 and she doesn't quite get what they get in terms of, you know, enabling their team. It kept everyone getting trapped, which is nice. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know, I'm half and half about it, okay. But I always go like, wait a minute, fucking what do you mean, ball? Everyone gets furious, go fuck yourself. I get 5 damage compensation and conditions that I'm going to get anyway. And I'll get to you get 1. Again, if it were heroic, it'd be ridiculous. Problem. Yeah. Because that just means she killed everyone. She'd have to be 4-4 if she had that for heroic. But, okay, I'm bringing her to gain the investment, and I potentially lose the investment if I have the audacity to ability.
Mm.
And okay, it means the correct strategy every time is to trigger your traps immediately, which might be the point, but like, okay, it brings in this mindset of I'm having the game played for me. Like, that's just what you do, that's the correct option. But that's just a matter, again, that's just a question of opinion, not really. Like, I'm quite happy with how she... Because, like, at the end of the day, she can crack 5 defense.
Yeah.
Which it will always be my... Thank God for that. I hate 5 defense models, especially the Angel and the Fathom for the world, who do double dodge and push dodge, who can get them on counter-attack. The fact that she just makes it bait to bait, you're alright.
Yeah.
Could be called a bait. Like, yeah, you can't get rid of me that easily. If you have to spend the 2, it's a lot less efficient. But I still get it at the end of the day. I still get my stick of butter. I'm happy with that. UK. Yeah. I've literally got dry mouth from talking. Fucking hell. Yeah, it's oh shit, I'm 45 minutes down on my clock. I'm looking 1 VP for every minute I talk now.
Yukai was really different to how I actually expected them to be once I got them on the board. I think, well, it was the first time I played with them, obviously, and I think I was expecting a little more than I got. So we've got character traits of last cast, cat catches the most. While this model's on the pitch, when a friendly model scores a goal, if it doesn't use run, the length of activation doesn't immediately end. And so my mind immediately went to these magical, nonsensical Fathom scores, 2 goals and then an activation places, which is entirely possible.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it is possible, especially with Linked Angel. But it didn't actually come up, you know. At no point did I utilize the sort of post goal part of a turn, part of an activation. Sorry. Beating wings over water, however, the active trait, once per turn during this model's activation, choose another friendly model within 8 inches, and they gain flying, which means they ignore terrain and other models' bases, as long as you don't like end overlapping it.
Yeah.
And that came in use actually more times than I thought it would. It's very similar to Ebb's Smooth the Way.
Yeah.
And I hardly ever used that.
But objective there.
Yeah. I mean, it helps that it's free.
Yeah, flying godlike.
Yeah, and yeah, it's just absolutely huge. Just the not having to factor in models' bases when moving is just so good. And when being able to go over any kind of terrain, like, it really helped Angel move into threatening a position where she had just no right to threaten.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. And then the legendary play of Cormorant's Calling. Choose another unengaged friendly model within 10 inches of this model. Place the chosen model within 10 inches of this model. Which is, I think, when you like dojo it, you get 21.5 inches of movement. Well, probably
the
22.
Absolute maximum extent.
Yeah, from directly behind to directly forwards, it's 20 inches plus 2 base sizes.
Yeah, about 22.5, give or take.
Which, when I looked at it, I thought, yes, it's nice, but I thought it was a bit much that it was a legendary. My gut reaction was knock a couple of inches off, make it heroic. And then when we played it, it completely changed. When I played it in that game, it just changed the state of the game so much. Gotta be legendary.
Yeah, the legendary was the thing that almost cost me the game.
Yeah.
And I won't lie, it was sheer fucking luck that prevented me from looking. And just, it literally came down to the millimetre where I put the ball in the corner, and I got quite comfortable with that corner. Because Fathom would come in, scored a goal, and because no one's in that corner, fine. And Fathom's already activated, the damage is done. I kick it back out to that corner. In theory, that's where last catches the most, it could have come in handy. Because, like, in situations where Fathom goes and hasn't used a movement, or depending on how lucky you get, legendary and acrobatic, but like, yeah, she just keeps the movement. She legendary, she heroic, acrobatic, and so on. Okay, I can't kick it to that corner, she'll just activate again, jog around, score again. I've got to put it somewhere else. This is where this legendary really shines. Fathom goes, I put it in the corner, turn around, fuck it, legendary. Kanu, 20 inch away.
Yeah.
What should have been carefully 20 inch away.
Yeah. Because what I was doing was just like this standard wing strategy.
The wing, yeah.
Sakana was on the left wing, Fathom was on the right. Fathom went up and scored on the right wing. There was now no one with any influence on the right wing, so you kick the ball out to the right wing. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yukai activates, brings Sakana from the far side of the left to the upper right of side of the right, and just suddenly everything, it became a complete emergency situation. Yukai jogged, Yukai was being engaged engaged by someone, so I couldn't risk just wandering off. So Yukai walked to the extent of the engagement, because it was Minerva with the 2-inch knock, with the knockdown on 2, which is why I couldn't walk away. So then I walked the extent of the 2 inches. I Swirling Waters, which is a 1 influence character play where target friendly model can make a 2-inch dodge. The kind of the kick in the teeth there is that each model can only be affected by it once per turn.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you know, can't have everything at all times. I mean, come on. So I got up to the extent, dodged away. Sakana was about 9 inches away from me, directly to the left.
Yeah.
So I threw him 10 inches, almost directly to the right, but pushed a bit forward. Looking at it on the board, the distance is huge, and it was such a shame that I'd had to use my jog to get into that position, because what I wanted to do was Swirling Waters, or if it was a 1-inch model, or if the parting blow hadn't been an issue. If I would have had the opportunity, what I would have liked to have done is legendary Takana to the far side, then jogged closer to him, and then Swirling Water to push him even further. Yeah. That's what I really wanted to get, but I just couldn't risk it.
And to be fair, had you gotten it,
it
really would have fucked me up.
I actually tried to break the surface to which is a target enemy model or free ball within 6 inches, place them within 4 inches of their current location. I tried to hit Steeljaw with that, and the plan was get her 4 inches plus a base size directly away from Sakana, and if I'd gotten that off, it'd have been game.
Hat of the dice though, on my side.
That's the problem.
Which is disconcerting, going how many dice rolls I was banking on.
That's a dice game though, isn't it?
Oh yeah, but I mean, an uncomfortable amount in a row.
Mm.
Game going in on 5 defense to start with, and then going, all right, charging initially. I couldn't even put my trap down ahead of time. I needed basically 2 attacks in a row to get me that push dodge on 2, and luckily I had to get them. So I could lower defense, golden. Mm. That's really what you want. Lower defense, better. And I was able just to get within 2 inch. There we go. Okay, I needed to get you into melee range. I needed to get within 2 inch. Mm. Bait, boom, you're in. Alright, attack. I nearly hit one. I do, obviously. And bait, you've already lowered defense. Weak point. So Mr. 4-1 goes down to 3-0 for nothing.
Yeah.
And then yay. Okay. Hit you base to base. Disarm. Alright. Legendary.
Yeah.
Fuck you and you. I put five traps down. 1 really near the ball in case you try to fuck off and clear your conditions. And 4, I triggered immediately. 4 damage, bleed, snared, weak point. Oh. Yeah, just great.
Yeah.
Good shit. Disarm you.
Yeah.
I've already got 1 armor, which Kakana, I really wish I'd pushed myself over. Just edged it out. I didn't do the fathom thing. I was so eager to get within that magic area.
Yeah.
That I was like, alright, I just need to make that a thing.
Well, I think it worked for you.
Barely, though. That was really pushing my luck. If I'd been able to just grab Kakana normally, I easily could have killed him on the legendary turn, take you. But because I had to blow so much just getting in and just getting him near me, and very likely you could have just gone, okay, attack, dodge.
Yeah.
The fact you need clear condition as well.
And hitting the disarm on him was absolutely ruinous. It meant I just couldn't get the dodge out. I couldn't get the dodge out and get away.
Yeah, I initially went for a knockdown. My gut instinct, knock him down, great, knockdown, kick back. But shit, clear condition, dodging out. But yeah, fuck the knockdown, pushing mid to base, disarm, bang.
Yeah.
And it kept him properly locked down. Did you chance it on a parting blow?
Yeah, I had to. So in the end, I ended up clearing conditions and just trying to run away.
Yeah, so you went back up to 4-1, but patting below.
Yeah.
Got the knockdown. Yay. And that's all one can hope for. But fucking, if you'd been able to get the Quilling Water Watch, would have been a done deal.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have had a counter to that, other than throwing a grit between one goal. Going, like, how.
Yeah, lose a dice, bitch.
Pat the dice, yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed playing Yukai. And I'll be honest, I enjoyed playing them more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
A lot more than I thought I would. I like playing Shark because I like the simplicity. Well, for me, it just gives you that one direction. What are you doing? I'm going to get the ball. And it's like the flow chart of the Shark game is, do you have the ball? Yes. Score the goal.
Yeah.
Do you have the ball? No. Get the ball. Do you have the ball? Yes. Score the goal. So I quite like Shark's game for that. And I like Corsairs because it's complete and utter flexibility to just be a horrible bastard at all times.
Yeah.
But Yukai just brings this new, like, completely new energy, because instead of it being the Shark show, or like, what are we doing? Well, we're spending 5 activations so Corsair can kill someone. Like, because that's what the two get. that's what the two game plans really go down to when I'm playing them. Probably playing them suboptimally. That's probably why I'm still in the mid tables, right?
Don't apologise for playing. I think you, like, again, you almost won the game flat out.
Mm.
But and I don't count my victory. It's like almost as legit. I go, I was looking for a fucking lot in a row to make that work. I go like, I walked away from that one going like, Alex should have had that one. That was sheer fucking robbery, basically. I think you planned with rock solid for that. And I think you generally play Shaq and Costner in the correct way too. Mm. Don't apologise for preemptively, Alex. You're fine. Mm. Fuck those guys. Tell me, motherfuckers, how you play UK.
But yeah, I think on the first turn I didn't utilise Yukai as much as I should have done. I was being really greedy from the start of the first turn. I sat there looking at it for far too long, trying to figure out how I score with Fathom, trigger Link, and then get a second goal in the first turn, when realistically I should have just worked better on my positioning. Because if I'd spent first turn investing more in my positioning, I think second turn I could have finished that game. I could have closed the game out. So we've got the stat line. We've got melee zone 2 inches, but of course we're a fish captain.
Yep.
We're on a 30 mil base. Movement 6'8", which isn't, I mean, it's good, but it's not fantastic.
Yeah.
Compared to some of the fish. But then bringing swirling waters with you, which means that for one influence you can make a 2 inch dodge.
Yeah.
So you're realistically you're an 8'10", you know, if you want it. Attack of 5, we've got 4'6" kick, which I love the 4 dice. The 6, you know, is a bit, would have been nice to have an 8, you know, we're a fisherman captain, but hey, what are you can do. 5-0 defense, that's nice. You know, we've got one at every level now. We got Corsair with 3-1, Tough Fight and Sturdy. We've got Shark with a standard 4-1, yeah. And now we've got Yukai at the top with 5-0, and the standard 4-6 captain influence. The playbook, not particularly much to write home about. You know, we got the key points. Oh, we've got the momentous tackle on 1,
yeah
that's it, and the momentless tackle on 1, and then a momentous swirling waters on 2.
Yeah, if you really need just one dodge, you won't get your one really reliable dodge. And if you want to get really cheeky after the fact, you've got to hit 4 to get your actual double dodge.
Yeah.
So you don't get to do the shark thing where you go double dodge, blah, blah, blah. You get the one, you get like, yeah, I like that. You get the one good one for free on the playbook.
Yeah.
And then you're actually, all right, well, fuck, if you want 4 inch instead of 2, you've got to earn them to catch
time. Yeah, that really stumped me at one point as well, because I really needed the double dodge. And I was like, man, I can't believe it's 4 up the book. And you went, what you on about? Swirling waters is on 2. And I was like, yeah, but it's once per turn per model.
The thing I like about it, it means you can be picky on tack.
Mm.
So if you hit someone and you get the surprise 4, you go, I'll take the double dodge.
Yeah.
I'll save the swirling water. But if you go, I only get 2, but I really need it, swirling water. And you've got a dodge on 2 anyway. So it's not like you go, oh, well, I don't get anything at all if I don't hit 4 now.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I get 1 inch as opposed to another 2. Yeah. So you're not, I quite like how reliable their playbook is generally. But yeah. Breaking Perfect also, like, really good denial there.
Absolutely love it. Cost 2. I mean, it's a shame you can't get it on the playbook. I mean, it may be a non-momentous gimbal. Maybe a non-momentous gimbal ball at the top. You know, but I think that's me just being a bit petulant, because I know there's a lot of spend 2, choose this, just happens now.
Yeah.
You know, there's no rolling. Whereas all of a sudden, oh, brilliant, I get a new thing and I have to roll dice. Fucking hell.
The good thing about Break the Perfect is that, let's say you've got, you know, your maximum range. Most people have an effective range of about 8 plus 1, 9 inch, give or take, 10 at a push. You should Break the Perfect, 6 inch, and then play something 4.
Mm.
It's got a denial range of 11 inch, which, if they've got ranged character play, good deal. But for your option and your balls of the world and your rages of the world, that's literally going, all right, they're getting ready, they're gearing for like a great activation. Yeah. And then you go, whatever, you're gone.
Yeah, sprint the full distance, sprint to the extent of Break the Surface, Break the Surface them away, and Swirling Waters back out.
When it came to your big activation, it was just sheerly bad luck that prevented it. But if you'd have gotten that went from being like, oh, I really need this, to I guess you've won.
Hmm.
And yeah,
what was really, really nice about playing Yukai is that when, like, that you know, I said that moment where you get that moment where you go, okay, sit forward, lick your lips and go, right, here's the Corsair activation. Yeah. 5 activations have gone into making this hellhole of a scrum. I'm looking for Rap City, bitch. Yeah. And then or when you go, oh, here we go, the big shark activation, and you go, I'm going to spend 6 influence and turn that into 4 VP, please.
Yeah.
Whereas Yukai, I I felt like the thing that's always drawn me to the Order is that I really like playing football, but I like their nonsense. Mm. And Yukai feels like I'm just getting, yeah, just enough. I'm just a taste, you know. Just like I'm getting like, yeah, I'm having my five fish activations, and then ooh, what's this? What's this lovely sort of flavouring that's been sprinkled into my fish? It's just a teeny tiny bit of nonsense. Yeah. I love it. It was great. Even though I wasn't scoring a goal in that activation, or I wasn't getting a kill, it still felt like the Yukai activation was always exciting. It was like, because it had that element of just like, it felt like I was going, right, okay, Yukai activates. It feels like you're just grabbing a wheel and just going, let's spin it and find out what's gonna happen. Because like the, oh god, it was excellent. It was absolutely excellent. And that game that we just played is the reason why we aren't like we in the last episode, in the one episode that we recorded that we didn't release, we basically did a rundown of all the miners cards and what we reckon, and just the feeling we got when we came out of this game, when we played Steeljaw and we played Yukai and we'd had them on the pitch, it was just like, no, we
board feel.
Yeah, board feel. It's got to be the board feel. That's when you just, oh, Yukai, so good. And good. That's it, Shark's gone from 12.
Poor Shark.
You go. Sorry, pal. You know, me and you, we had a lot of good times together.
Joe Pesci and Goodfellow. Yukai, it's been a long time, man. Yeah, just come into the garage. Yeah, one particular player I think might be really good for Yukai. If Yukai score, right?
Yeah.
If Yukai score, they go, okay, I goal kick. Middle, left, or right. You've got your two wings with your normal strikers. Yukai in the middle. Okay, you put your goal kick out. Okay, I'll put it in the middle. Yukai potentially get it. Score again, bitch. Right, okay, I go again. Blah, 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 call. Camera calling. My striker's just there now. Yeah. Oh, fucking hell. I'll take the other wing. Call, 20-inch forward. Striker's there now. Again, it buys you one activation. But it means, like, I think that's where Yukai will really shine. It'll take a lot to get the goal, but if you don't get the goal, call, that's where, you know, they really come together. Great. I'm enabling on my striker. There's no way you can put the ball now, motherfucker, where you won't be worried about that thing. Free ball, which is one of my favourite counter strategies to fish usually, becomes kind of a much bigger problem. Because, like, in fact, the reason I like free ball, because it decreases the range of the ball. The problem is, if the range of the striker has been increased 10-inch, the free ball strategy, that can target free ball. It can't even, the point, whatever, 10-inch, I've added 10-inch to my striker, they'll just walk up and grab the free ball now with money to spare. Well, never mind then.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm better off trying to rely on my goal kick to maybe give it to my mascot. Yeah, you've got to form whole strategies now around killing or effectively trying to get rid of the ball, which I think I can do given time, but if you're initial, I think that's where Yukai will be strongest, when they themselves are actually scoring and then going, okay, I'll see what you do first, and then I can use my legendary to react.
Yeah, that's going to be huge. And I think that the fact that Yukai is just complete the free ball, I just need to figure out how to make Vetsakana work now. The fact that he's got that ranged tackle that gets around close control from someone else, you know.
I genuinely think
it's just so hard to drop normal Sakana.
That range tackle thing, I've not seen it go off once and pay off.
And
the same will break the black flag. If that was a normal pay for it or a pulse or anything you didn't have to roll for, I'd totally get it. +2/+2 move rate would be great on Yukai. You've got to hit some motherfucker. That's always the problem with that kind of. You've got to hit someone and then you get the
hit. And it's on three. It's on three.
And they get to control the situation. Yeah, where are my model? Not near the ball. Range of the black flag, not that great. You've got to come to me, more importantly, like, you know, that's the way I like to play it. Come to my half of the pitch where I control things,
where all my traps are,
yeah, where
and my angry bear is,
my counter attack car and stuff. Yeah, it's Vetsakana, super situational. I don't really particularly like him. The one thing that I could do to Yukai is lock him down.
Yeah,
once I had Yukai engage with even a mediocre 2-inch melee model, well, shit, all of a sudden the world was my after. Yukai, for all the support they can give, can't get themselves out of a terrible situation.
Yeah.
Brilliant, I lock you down, Jack. Would have been perfect there.
Yeah.
Come in, push people around, Yukai, go about your business. Great.
Yeah. I think just due to the amount of nothing I got out of Siren, I think Siren goes.
Yeah.
As you suggested, Jack comes in. I was thinking about Hag, because then we've just got dodge nonsense for days. But and I know people keep telling me to try Hag. I've tried Hag now, and I just prefer Jack. The fact that ramming speed just hits friendly and enemy models alike. The fact that it's every single model you hit, as long as
My first instinct is like, oh, I get 2-inch dodge. Jack just walking, come on, 2-inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, game diff. Andy gets on the push, and he's not a sinking ship like Hag. Thea, like, okay, lovely and all. I view it as like going, yeah, I spend one influence and all of a sudden you're a ship model. Excellent. And I get the attack anyway. Fuck it, whatever. I'll blow the price. One other person walks in dead. Jack, a bit more survival. Not a survival themed a bit, and I think kind of bullshit. Out of all tough hide models Fish have, I think Jack was the one who deserved the least to have it taken off him. They nerfed him with the heroic. Let him take a bit of health off him, but let him keep tough hide. Like, even Kraken, if they're gone, you know what? Couple more points of health, no more tough hide Kraken. Gravity well, he's locking people down, he's doing his job. You've got to attack him, he's the guy. Like, I could have understood that. I wouldn't have approved, but I at least would have understood. Yeah, Jack, when I saw that, they're taking tough hide off, I'm like, what?
I think you're right. I think with Jack, like, when they took tough hide off, they should have given him blessings of old.
I'd prefer him to have 10 health and blessing from old than 10 health, not 12.
No, he's 12.
Oh, fuck that. Can they nerf the legendary and made kill potential
heroic?
Push.
Yeah.
Can they nerf the push potential? Then, yeah, let him keep to fight. I really thought that was a really unnecessary nerf. Even take a dice and kick off him if you think it's that ridiculous. But really made his potential a lot worse. On a model that already wasn't getting a lot of love. It's not like Jack was going, ooh, can't have a fish team without Jack. That's just the way it is. It's like, you know, people weren't playing him anyway.
You say fish, I think Jack.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But I do think Jack does work well on the team. Mm. Like, fuck it, you're not going for kills. People are going to die anyway. And the one weakness you guys have, Jack deals with spectacularly. Even gives them a bit of more range. I push you, I heroic you. Yay, everyone. You wanna scrum up around them? No, not on my watch. And more importantly, I feel like Jack's actually doing his job a bit.
I've really enjoyed playing you guys. Really, really enjoyed playing them. And one of the things about that was just the fact that there's this complete unknown element when you guys on the table. Like, when but Corsair's like six stack of influence is basically just, if you come near me you will die. Shark's stack is got to keep an eye on that ball, whereas Yukai's six stack of influence is converted into what the shit is going to happen. Nobody knows, like, for the next 6 months the fish players aren't really gonna know either.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like that legendary, so good. It felt like my gut reaction when I first saw the card was that a lot of Yukai's character seems to be put into this legendary, which is why I was a bit disappointed that it's like it felt like a one and done. That's all you get. And I was, the first thing I thought was maybe make it a place within 6 inches and make it heroic, or place within, like, but no, I think the actually getting on the board, getting that board feel, Yukai's great fun.
Yeah, that kind of play where it's so potent. If I'd been heroic even at half range, but well, that's 3 10-inch every time, whatever. Hold their old finger just revolve around. But with a legendary, like, going, okay, now's the time for the activation. And like, okay, the first time on the board, you had the big activation.
Yeah.
Again, it was literally sheer luck that prevented me. You needed a 4, you rolled snake eyes. And that was just for me to get the chance to get in the way.
Yeah.
If you'd have gotten that, game over.
Yeah, actually, you're right. Even with rolling the double 1, and you barely got it. You were in by, like, the most exact measurement possible to get to where you needed to be. And then you needed 3 dice rolls to go before you could even consider it. Yeah.
It was literally hard the dice play. I think really great. Good legendary will really make that. And more importantly, like, I care. Particularly potent when they fall. Because you can react then.
Yeah.
You get to go, where can you go, get going. More importantly, where are my team going?
Yeah,
super good.
Yeah. The one thing I didn't really get was the Yukai goal. I got I got 2 goals of Fathom, and, like, you know, that's just because she was there. But I really want to try and get the Yukai goal for that exact reason.
Honestly, not that hard. 10-inch effective movement, 4-foot kick, you've just got to actually invest in. And if they get the goal in particular, all of a sudden the world is your oyster. And even opens up the potential of if you were to have potentially a kicker go late in a turn and not immediately go off goal, and just know, like, if Fathom's great for it because she can get 6-inch of movement before she can kick. If she's within goal range on heroic end, if you can just get that goal initial and then go, okay, where do you kick it? You can't kick it here, can't just walk for it, sprint for it, and then score again. So you can, it's very easy now to manipulate the goal kick, which is where the opposing team used to be strong on trying to counteract the fish. The goal kick is where you fuck the fish player over, and all of a sudden you're fucking with the nature of the goal kick. Great. Now I've got to put it somewhere where I don't get my best option. Really great.
Yeah, because you've got, there's so much you've got to consider now when you're positioning the ball. That scatter, it's, am I going to be able to keep it safe from any of the strikers who are coming from it? Am I going to be able to keep it safe from Yukai if they haven't used Break the Surface yet?
Yeah. Again, free ball, which used to be one of my favourite strategies against fish, is now looking way more uncertain just by default. But yeah, I'm gonna have a good on how I ruin Yukai Day.
Mm.
But a gut feeling, real love Dil Joff, real love Yukai. Morn, awesome, I guess.
But Morn, neither of us are really good enough players to understand Morn.
And Vet Boring, I can't wait to you. Yeah. Fucking... oh god!
It's a really, really exciting time to be playing Guild Ball. Like I feel like coming in at season three, like I said at the start, coming in season three, we missed that. We missed that wave of excitement of playing shark, meaning that you play playing fish, meaning you play shark, and then suddenly, who the fuck's this Corsair guy? Yeah. Oh my god, the game's been turning its head. And just knowing that there's going to be this rolling thing of like suddenly, boom, more captains. These guilds are all different now. Yeah. Well, oh.
Given current projection, we can expect another four captains on the 14th of March.
Yeah.
And I demand that, by the way.
But they're just making so many right decisions at the minute. Yeah. So many right decisions at the minute. And I absolutely commend them for going right, announcing stuff with too long to go just isn't working for us. Let's change tack. And yep, fucking knocked it out of the park with this one. Absolutely knocked it out of the park with this one.
I'm more than happy with the way new captains can come out. I think they're great rule wise. I'm looking forward to playing each and every one except Morn. And
I just imagine like there's just sort of that we're both just stood behind a Morn, just looking at the card, looking back at the model, looking back at the card, looking at the model, and then we look back out and we're not playing anyone, we're just staring at this model like just going, but I don't understand.
Yeah. But I get Morn will be great, just mortician crap, particularly my team. Mm-hmm. It's not obvious, it's not the kind of model that I'm gonna, for a mortician player, I'm sure they're gonna figure out some really cool stuff. But for me, it's not that kind of, like Vet Ball, it's not explosive, I can't, and I like that kind of model, but Morn's just not that kind of,
yeah,
you know, off the chip thing. And great, yeah. I don't think they should all be
here like comes that. The Morn activation,
yeah, it should be. I don't want the model to have DLC syndrome where to make the DLC character more popular they just make him ridiculous and nerf him later.
Yeah,
unlike Fed Ball. But yeah, I'm like, they're gone, here come Morn will fit into the mortician, and captain should be defined in a way that makes the player of that team look forward to playing them.
Yeah.
Morn shouldn't be defined for Mr. Hunt to kill all the time.
Mm.
It's not meant to make a captain, meant to make you switch that team, it's meant to make the guy who can play that team feel rewarded, and hopefully they will do. Fuck on that, gentlemen.
Mm.
Are we all on the same page?
Yeah.
Are we? How are you? Final thoughts for the day? Are we Jerry Springer in it?
Yeah, I've really pleasantly surprised with you, Kai. I think that's my final thought, is very pleasantly surprised. Surprise with you, Kai. Been looking at the card all day, trying to figure out how I was going to play. And as soon as I got some board feel, like turn one was a bit wet, turn two was a bit wet, but got them by again, turn three.
That's the main lesson today. Board feel is king.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, it's been a while.
Yeah.
But we are. I know we kept the last time, right? But we are back.
And we mean it this time.
We really do. You know, whatever you said, whatever you did, you didn't mean it. You just wanted us back for good. And we are back for good. How old are we getting that we were throwing out Westlife references?
We?
No. You knew what I was talking about, motherfucker, don't you? But yeah, everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. We are back.
Mm.
And next episode, we'll be hitting the miners pretty hard. So look forward to that.
I'm excited. I'm really excited. What's interesting is three different people have all got in touch and said, what do you think of the miners? They look like exactly your kind of nonsense.
And make that a four. I think they'd be great for you. Mm. And we'll find out on the next game of Guild Ball. Miners versus anyone at random. Vet Ball. Dibs,
shotgun. I'm calling shotgun. You might as well have a shotgun with that damage.